So this episode, we're going to go through the rest of the Shivers series, which we talked about book three, Ghostwriter, last time. And guys, this is a long one. There are 36 books in this fucking series. So here we go. One, The Enchanted Attic. When they move into an old house, two sisters begin to realize something sinister lies in the old attic. They must find out what it is before it's too late. You know, if I was a ghost, I would haunt the attic and demand that the family finish it and put a cool room up there. Didn't every, like, 80s, 90s kid want a cool attic room with a peaked roof? Why shouldn't I live out this fantasy just because I'm dead? A ghastly shade of green. When Jason's mother takes him and his brother to the Everglades, things begin to disappear, including their dog and family. This is like the second or third book that seems to basically be like, hey, did you know alligators are a thing? I mean, it's kind of scary and everything. I wouldn't want to be eaten by a gator, but it's not like the most creative idea for a horror story. There's not much new under the Florida sun, but give me a blob or something. You know what I mean? Wasn't that like North Carolina blob that was made out of like worms and goo and stuff? That's way more fun than a gator. Then we had Ghostwriter, which we covered. For the Animal Rebellion. While staying at his uncle's farm, Winston discovers that the animals on the farm are planning to overthrow their human master. I wish I'd read the description of these first, because, like, this sounds nuts, and it sounds much more fun than Ghostwriter. I mean, if animals could organize, I could see them taking, making a decision like, you know, take over the farm. Why not? I do feel like a horse could sort of just decide to take over a single farm and maybe be somewhat effective. Like, if the horse caught everyone by surprise, it could definitely kick down a door and fuck some shit up. 5. The Locked Room. Brittany and her younger brother are wary of their mother's new husband, and more scared when they find out that there's a connection between him and the locked room in the house. Oh my god. Little advice in this situation, everybody. Get a good friend. Like a really good friend, and have them go into the locked room. That way, if it's a porn dungeon featuring your mom, your friend will see it and can tell you that's what it is, but without the specifics, and you don't have to have those images in your head forever. 6. The Haunting House. Caitlin's family moves into an old, burnt-down house that's haunted by something other than ghosts. How do you move into a house that's burnt down? Like, I'm picturing a smoldering ash pile. It sucks, but I don't know if that's horror per se, just shitty. Like, what's that genre called? Realistically, a not fun time? The books? 7. The Awful Apple Orchard. Daniel and Sarah vacation at an apple orchard haunted by ghosts. I like when it's just basically some people do a thing, also there are ghosts. You know what I mean? Like, are these apple-themed ghosts or are they just ghosts? 8. Terror on Troll Mountain. Paul explores the cliffs of Italy and finds a troll who feeds on children. This takes me back to an idea I had once. There's this author, Charles Hinton, who wrote two terrible books in the Agent Coldbeer series, and in one, Agent Coldbeer goes to Japan. I wonder if it's possible that this could be done as a tax write-off. Like, okay, for example, if Stephen King traveled to Japan and then wrote a book set in Japan, I feel like he could get away with that, right? And call it a business expense? But what about a self-published author? On one hand, it's kind of hard to justify, but on the other, it's not my understanding that tax write-offs are based in any way on how successful your business venture is. Like, you can write off a company car even if your business fucking tanks, right? The mystic spell. Timmy visits a carnival mystic who gives him the power to fight back against his tormentors, but the power may cost him his life unless he's not careful with it. Timmy, that power is called a shotgun. 10. The Curse of the New Kid. A troubled teen tells his story of how his presence in every school he transfers to leads to his tormentors dying. I mean, that seems not so bad. I don't know that I want all bullies to die, but they are being called tormentors, which makes me think they're pretty shitty dudes. If you had to have a rumor swirling around you, kids getting killed by bullying you seems to be a pretty good one. Although maybe that just makes the bullying worse because you get like a different caliber of bully. You know what I mean? You attract bullies who are like, I'll show you. You know, it's like being the greatest gunfighter in the West. And so everybody comes up against you. 11. Guess who's coming for dinner? Josh suspects that his best friend, Michael, and his family are cannibals after Josh's favorite teacher disappears after a night at Michael's house. I don't know that killing and eating is the first thing I would jump to. Although, goddamn, what kind of maniac has a teacher to their house for dinner? I would have hated that as a kid. Like, what would be a bigger nightmare than, let's do school part two, the dinnering? 12. The Secret of Fern Island. Kenny's excursion to a desert island leads to solving the mystery of a missing boy and a cursed lighthouse. Is it spoilery to tell us that the mystery is solved? Is this the first 28 pages and the rest is just Kenny having fun, enjoying the satisfaction of a mystery solved? 13. The Spider Kingdom. Freddy and Lumpy are captured by huge spiders and get dragged into the Spider Kingdom. Lumpy. That's a kid name? Like, there's a kid named Lumpy? Or maybe it's a dog. Calling a dog Lumpy, I'm into. Calling a kid Lumpy, I have some questions for that kid's parents. 14. The Curse in the Jungle. On an archaeological dig in Guatemala, Harry gets lost and finds the skull of a Mayan ruler, which unleashes an ages-old curse. I feel like cursing an archaeologist seems harsh. Like, he's just trying to learn about you and about the past. Now, when he starts whipping things and shooting people, maybe that's when it gets out of hand. Or when your skull ends up in a museum and people have to pay to see it, that's kind of fucked up. But the guy who's just like, wow, I'm really curious about human history, ends up cursed, that's not reasonable. 15. Pool Ghoul. There's something strange afoot when Matt and Laura's new backyard pool begins terrorizing anyone who dares swim in it, and all eyes are on their neighbor, Miss Pincher, as the one behind it. I mean, this is kind of a good idea, a pool gone wrong. You would be so popular around here as a kid with a pool. I think the Midwest is the best place to have a pool as a kid because most people don't have a real, legit pool in their backyard. In California, I feel like you're just keeping up, but in Minnesota, you'd be the king of summer. I'd probably give my kid a choice, college or pool. And if my kid had even 10% of my genes, we would be having a pool for sure. 16. The Beast Beneath the Boardwalk. Alec and his cousin Mary battle to stay alive in a hurricane while being hunted by the beast that lives beneath the boardwalk. See, I do like these where there's a sort of natural disaster combined with a supernatural problem. Like that movie Crawl where there's a hurricane and then giant murderous alligators get into a basement of a house. That's good shit. There was a proposed Candyman movie where a blizzard locked everyone into a dorm room over Christmas break. So it was mostly empty, and then Candyman gets involved somehow and starts killing people, and they're trapped in the dorm. That's what I'm talking about. Like, why didn't they make that movie? Why did they make those shitty sequels instead? Like the one that had the Baywatch star who wasn't even nude. Why would you do that? If you're going to cast someone who sucks at acting, I'd like them to be nude. That seems like the implied promise. The Ghosts of Camp Massacre. Samantha is staying at a summer camp built near the site where a family was massacred by ghostly Native Americans a century ago. But soon she finds out the real truth behind the legend. Let me guess, the Native Americans weren't evil. Take that, colonizers. The Shivers books are really teaching you a lesson. Shivers, is that what we're talking about? I can't even remember. 18, your mama's a werewolf. Yo mama's so werewolf. A vacation in the woods of Michigan leads to Iggy's mom being attacked by a werewolf. You know, I was saying before I like natural disasters combined with the supernatural. I consider being on a vacation in the woods a sort of low-key disaster. Like, what kind of vacation is that? Where you're like, yeah, so every morning before I drink this water, I have to boil it for 10 minutes. Wow, that's fun. 19, the thing in room 601. Liam and Diane are stuck in a haunted hotel room where their mom has to leave. I want to see the story of the haunted motel, like the shitty one. Show me the haunted motel, you know, motor lodge, whatever. Like, we don't need another Victorian manor looking ass hotel. We need a spot where all the doors go straight out to the parking lot, where someone parks their car and the lights shine directly into your window, and some asshole thinks he has to warm up his truck for 20 minutes because it's 50 degrees outside. 20, Babyface and the Killer Mob. Joey's wish to be a mobster comes true when he wakes up in the body of a gangster named Babyface. Okay. And then he goes to Babyface's therapy appointments and has lots of conversations with other Italian Americans, and we're all just sort of entranced by it for several seasons. Except for Pete. Pete just doesn't care for mob stuff. I don't know why, it's just not interesting to me. 21, a waking nightmare. A boy named Martin is being accused of committing destructive acts while sleepwalking and must find the culprit. Martin, the culprit is all the Robitussin you're drinking. You cannot just swallow an entire bottle of Robo and then be surprised when you do something fucked up. 22. Lost in Dreamland. Twin siblings Bill and Barbara get trapped in an amusement park where everyone's nightmares come true. Why are amusement parks so scary to everybody? Carnivals, I get. Every person working at a carnival seems kind of frightening. Like they live outside the law. It's almost like, you know, if you can get away with a crime while you're asleep, like in the previous book, I feel like you could also get away with committing a crime while being a carny. In both cases, it's like you're sort of outside of yourself. 23, Night of the Goat Boy. While at summer camp, Nathaniel finds himself face to face with a half-man, half-goat creature thought to be the stuff of legends. Which half is the goat and which is the man? I mean, this is important information. I'm not sure which is worse, though. I guess goat on top is the worst. Like, at least if there's a guy on top, he could probably explain what the hell happened. 24, the ghosts of Devil's Marsh. Samantha's past is likely to haunt her when she joins her dad's family. She's fed up with the taunts and whispers of Nana. Don't break a dead's heart. Don't break a dead's heart? What is some... don't break... Is it dad or dead? Dad's family. What is Samantha doing when she hears this? Like, can you imagine if your dead grandmother's ghost showed up every time you were about to jerk off? That could not end well. That's not going to be a life well lived. 25. A ghostly playmate. Virginia has a new friend, a ghost who also plays games with her and won't let her quit. The ghost wants her as a playmate forever. I mean, the ghost is probably bored, Virginia. Have some sympathy. 26. One Foot in the Grave. When she and her family move to France for her dad's job, Bubby meets a boy named Jean-Luc, and together they unleash a phantom. This is like almost like a romance, eat, pray, love thing. Now I tell you the story of the whirlwind summer when I met a Frenchy French boy and we unleashed a phantom. Ah, to be young again. 27. Camp Fear. Jane and her friends take the rocky road and soon learn that camping can be very hazardous to their health. Somewhere out in the wilderness, they join their class for a 3-day camping adventure. Their camp was once part of a magnificent, mysterious estate. Now all around, the sound of crying can be heard. I mean, this is probably just a story about Lyme disease, right? Which sucks, but you know. I don't know. Slow motion, shitty disease isn't exactly the most thrilling story. 28. Watch 'em Kill. A boy named Philip orders a pack of new and improved growing monster pills, which are supposed to grow when water is added. However, the packaging mentioned nothing about them coming to life, growing larger than life, or eating human flesh. I like how there's a common story about ordering shit in the mail, and it actually works too well. Like, that seems to be a horror premise. But it's the exact opposite of everything that was ordered out of the back of a comic book ever. Like, I can't imagine getting something from the back of a comic and being whelmed by it, let alone overwhelmed. 29. The Terrible Terror Book. Carrie and Aaron find a book that predicts bad things that come true. You know, I always thought it'd be fun to write a book of Nostradamus-esque predictions and make it look old and, you know, make it look like it's predicting bad things. So you would start with like some modern-ish things and then have predictions go beyond the current time. I feel like if you made your predictions vague and flowery enough, someone might be inclined to think you were like a genius psychic or something. 30. Creepy Clothes. After their parents are in a car crash, Patricia and Sam are sent to stay with their estranged aunt, and when they discover a trunk full of old clothes in her attic, they learn about the sins of the past. Ugh, they learn from old clothes? Couldn't they find like a sword or something, or like an unexploded live hand grenade? Is anything more boring than a bunch of clothes? Like, if I was a kid and opened a trunk of old clothes, I'd close it immediately, sit on top of it, and be like, why is life so boring? Like, why am I cursed to have this life? 31. Shriek Home, Chicago. A year after Terror on Troll Mountain, Paul learns that the monster that troubled him and his cousin Anthony has followed Anthony to Paul's home in Chicago. In Chicago. So the monster has started a small restaurant that's engaging in several forms of graft in order to circumvent city requirements for their awning, which they inherited when they bought the property, but is now not grandfathered under new rules. Eventually, the rules are stupid enough that the monster just moves back to the woods. Maybe that's why Chicago rules are so silly. It keeps monsters from opening Italian restaurants. 32. Beware the Bog Girl. On vacation with her scientist father, Julie is troubled by the ghost of a spoiled girl who lives in the swamp. How spoiled can this girl possibly be if she lives in the swamp? She doesn't even live in a nice house or perhaps an upscale apartment. I feel like a girl who lives in the actual swamp maybe deserves to be spoiled on some level, because she's certainly not being spoiled in terms of her living situation. 33. The Forgotten Farmhouse. Nico and Anna get lost while horseback riding and get trapped in an old farmhouse haunted by its gruesomely slain owners. Do you think the horses, like, know where they're going? Like, do you think horses are like, we could take these dum-dums back, but, eh, they've made this pile of hay, they should lie in it. 34. Weird Waldo's Wax Museum. Billy and Chrissy visit a wax museum in Washington, D.C., where they discover a gruesome secret behind the lifelike figures. Wax museum horror, that's another unexpected staple. Probably because we all saw Waxworks, specifically the last 20 minutes where everything goes apeshit and a militia of grandpas are fighting Draculas and shit. If you've never seen that movie, I highly recommend it. If you get bored, just fast forward to the end. It's incredible. 35. Terror on Tomahawk Island. Sean and Wendy visit an island haunted by Native American spirits. Like the cigarettes? 36. Madness at the Mall. Brothers Frank and Tom are trapped in a shopping mall with the souls of animals from the pet cemetery that the mall was built upon. Damn it. This was the one I should have read. It's got all the good 90s goods. It's got the pet cemetery staple. It's got it all. I am such a fool. Reader beware, you're in for a scare.